Greg Kelly Show.
Wow, is it safe on the streets right now? No! No, it's not, no matter who you are. Especially, though, if you are Jewish and, you know, you're possibly wearing, I don't know, maybe an Israeli flag pin, or perhaps you are dressed in traditional Hasidic garb. I don't know. It's just, it is dangerous right now to be Jewish and out in public. You are a target. Please be careful. I cannot believe what is happening in this country right before our eyes. And they are being portrayed and coddled as somehow the righteous, and adults all over the place who should know better, who probably do know better, but are afraid, are permitting this, are facilitating this. You know, what about that crap about white supremacy? Whatever happened to all that stuff? I thought white supremacy was the existential threat to America. That was a hocus-pocus makeup job. This is real, and we're seeing it again. How many times do we have to see this? As a human race, how many times do we have to see this? And this is it. The seeds are there. It's happening. This is, they want to eradicate an entire people, the Jewish people. They want them gone. And we have very powerful interests in America who are just standing by. And the most powerful, on paper at least, Joe Biden, is giggling. He's absolutely giggling about this stuff with that wretched wench, AOC. Horrible, ignorant, hateful. I know I sound pretty hateful, but guess what I hate? Genocide? Guess what I hate? Prejudice against Jewish people? Are you crazy? You know what else I hate? Killing babies, killing women and children, holding the elderly hostage. Can AOC come out and condemn those things? No. This is all some, wait a second. What is this? Anti-Semitic hate on college campuses is unacceptable. Hate has no place in our schools. All education leaders must stand defendable. Okay, a tweet was just issued. A tweet was just issued by the Secretary of Education. Okay, thank you. Joe Biden, remember? My whole soul is in this, uniting our country, bringing it together, uniting our people. You know who's actually been pretty good on this? I hate to say it. Well, no, I don't hate to say it. Praise where praise is due. John Fetterman, Democrat senator from Pennsylvania. He gets it. You never know. We take our friends wherever we can get them, including John Fetterman. I love it. I give him a hell of a lot of credit. Good for him. Look at this. They've taken over Columbia University. They've taken over NYU. They've taken over Yale. Now, at Columbia, guess what they did? They had to turn off school. No more school. You'll do remote learning for the rest of the semester, which I think ends in about, what, 2 weeks? Remote learning. Because it's too dangerous for Jewish students to get to class, and we're going to let these terrorist-loving savages run all over the place, and they are the good guys. It was totally disgraceful. Totally and completely. I don't see, quite frankly, you know, the NYPD, I think they're being held back a little bit. I do. I think, well, we don't know from Eric Adams. He's not even in charge. I hear he's in Miami. It doesn't matter. Even if he were here, he wouldn't know what to do. And this has been a long time coming. I don't know. How do we help? What do we do? What do we do? They're taking to the streets. They are taking to the streets, harassing Jewish people, harming Jewish people. I guess pretty soon I'm going to take to the streets and harass them. And maybe I'm going to have to do something to them. I'm going to obey the law, of course. I don't know. Is the law adequate? Is the law adequate? I see lawmakers, and I see the executive, the chief executive who's in charge of executing the laws, the president of the United States, giving these people a pass and also tacitly a green light. How about that one in America? An anti-Jewish pogrom, I guess you would call it, right? In the finest universities in the land, all this stuff, all this hate, and they have tremendous influence. It's not like, oh, it's happening on Columbia. It's never going to affect. Yeah. Guess what? Adelphi University on Long Island, where they take their cues from, right? Hofstra, Slippery Rock State. Have you ever heard of that school? It's a real school, Slippery Rock. Now, they follow the lead of these Ivies. And the little schools, you know, the Adelphi's, the Nassau Community Colleges, the rest, a lot of their faculty actually come from these elite schools. And the same crap is starting to happen at the smaller schools, at the less prestigious schools. Man, it's something. And meanwhile, President Trump is back in court. Oh, goodness gracious. Hey, is this, let me see here. Play cut two, please. Cut two.
This is a case that nobody wanted to bring, including Alvin Bragg. It was just at the last minute they decided to do it. It's a case that, if you're looking back, it goes back many, many years, 2015, maybe before that. And it's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing in terms of the law.
I didn't realize how minor it was until I found an old checkbook from home. A whole checkbook where it actually has a little stub that you can write in. And in that stub, well, that's the answer to this whole case. In that little stub is what you write down. You write down what happened. Let me see here. What's going on, Cohen? All that stuff, because here you never know where that company, you never know. Okay. It's a transcript of how do we help? What do we do? He's tied up for 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. Hey, the other thing is this. This is where I blame NYPD leadership. You know, Trump doesn't see any of his supporters when he goes downtown. He doesn't see any MAGA people. And you know why? Because they've cordoned them off into this little area where you can't see them. You know, if you're a protester and you go down there and you want to shout your head off, you're a right as an American, and you want to shout in support of President Trump, and you want to denounce the judge and the prosecutors, guess where you get to do that? According to the law, you get to do that within earshot of whoever the hell it is you're trying to send the message to. You get to do that so they can hear you. This is not a federal judge. This is a local judge. This is a state judge. You're allowed to do this. The prosecutors, too. I notice the prosecutors don't even want to show their face. Every day we got the pictures of who? Trump. But nobody else wants to show their face. Why is that? It reminds me of Iraq, where sometimes the police wore masks. On January 6th, some of the cops were wearing masks. The good guys are not afraid to show their face. And by the way, every time I see somebody with a mask, forget it. COVID's over. You're up to no good. There's something wrong with you. Well, I have a respiratory issue. No, you're thinking about committing a crime. That is really what's happening when you're wearing a mask. You're thinking about committing a crime. You know who's the worst, by the way? These ninjas on their scooters and the bikes, why are they always wearing masks? Now, I've read about this. What they'll do is they'll slow down next to somebody and just grab their bag, grab their suitcase, grab their watch, and then they're off, and they're off, and then they're just off. You know, going through Alvin Bragg's first day memo, anybody remember when Alvin Bragg got the job? He told everybody his philosophy. His new philosophy when it came to policing and prosecution. Number one, it's not a crime to, well, not pay your subway fare. It's not a crime to hold up a store with a gun if you genuinely did not intend harm with the gun. You won't be charged with a felony. They'll cut it down to petty larceny. Doesn't that sound nice? Petty larceny. P-E-T-I-T. Petite larceny. And for petite larceny, there's no mandatory jail sentence. None. Ex-tabloid publisher. So David Pecker is in there right now. So here's what I'm hearing about David Pecker. Nice guy. He just wanted to help. They just want to be involved. You know, suddenly your friend is running for president and he's doing really well. But you want to help. You want to help in any way you can. Most people, you know, I mean, David Pecker is a magazine publisher of the National Enquirer. How is he going to help? Well, if I see any bad stories out there, I can try to kill them. Good. Excuse me. And if I see any good stories, I'll try to promote them. That's what he can do. And that's what he did. There's nothing wrong with that. The entire media culture saw a bad story for Joe Biden, the Hunter Biden laptop, and they did everything they could to suppress that story. Kind of like a catch and kill. Now, I didn't like it. I thought it was scandalous. I thought it was horrific, their behavior. But I didn't think it was illegal. I never thought it was illegal. I never thought that CNN should be prosecuted for not reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop. As bad as it was their choice, right? So that's not a crime. Why would it be a crime if you got David Pecker trying to help his friend with stories he thinks may or may not be true? He didn't even know. It wasn't like every negative story that came his way, he called up Trump to say, is this true or not? It was a negative story when a doorman came forward and said, oh, Donald Trump is the father of an illegitimate child. Well, it turned out not to be true, but David Pecker didn't even check initially. They just wanted to kill a story. Right or wrong, there are all kinds of fake stories out there. You would want to put down all of the negative stories and accentuate the positive. Pecker did that, and Michael Cohen did that as well. But Michael Cohen had another motive, Michael Cohen. Because Michael Cohen, you've seen him on TV a million times. He's a dumb guy, doesn't know anything. He's not much of a lawyer. It turned out he had a whole side. Goodness gracious, what's wrong with me? Sorry. Nothing like hot coffee to take care of a cough. I drink too much of this stuff. Michael Cohen wanted to get on the good side, not of Donald Trump. You know who he was looking to impress? Melania. He gets wind of this story. By the way, kooks and nut jobs come out of the woodwork all the time. When you're a famous person, like Trump, never been anybody as famous, all the time the phone's ringing off the hook with people, most of whom have never met you, with these grandiose stories, all kinds of crazy tales. And Cohen hears this. It's a vehicle not to help Trump, but to help Michael Cohen gain credibility, gain like the idea that he's useful with Melania, and therefore, thereby, he gets a job in the Trump administration. That's what he really wanted. Can you believe he wanted to be attorney general under Donald Trump? He wanted that. And then when he couldn't get that, he said, well, I'll be the chief of staff. I would be good at that job. I know things. No, he didn't get that either. Well, what about deputy chief of staff? I could do that job. No. You stay in New York. I don't want to stay in New York. I want to come with you, Don. They wouldn't let him come. That's one of the reasons why he flipped so badly. When the FBI raided him, and that is probably one of the biggest crimes ever, the FBI, people say, how can you say that about the FBI? I am so fed up with that. That FBI, they have canceled themselves. They stink. And quite frankly, any FBI agent out there, I think you almost have a responsibility. If you're doing work that you truly, if you have integrity and you think it's really to the benefit of the American people, great. But I know a lot of you know that you're doing political chores for Democrats. When you showed up at Michael Cohen's home in April of 2018, who was then one of the president's lawyers, and raided his house, was that for national security? Was that to uncover genuine criminal activity that was of interest to the FBI? Of course not. You were harassing Trump. Gosh, the FBI. Hey, everyone's excited about the gag order. Is Donald Trump going to be in violation of the gag order? I guess technically speaking, he could go to jail over this. Probably going to get a fine. Breaking news. Hey, they made a big deal about the transcript. We'd all have the transcript. Well, we don't have it yet. Let's just take a look at the website one more time. When are we going to get it? At the end? Let me see here. I just texted this guy who works there. Nope, not yet. Not yet. Not fair. Uh-oh. All right. So there's this stalker guy. His name is Colangelo. He's the main lawyer going after Trump right now under Bragg. And he's the guy. He used to work at the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. Have you ever been there? It's a beautiful building. It's one of the most prestigious jobs you can have as a government lawyer. He leaves that job to go work for Tish James, right? To be the deputy. No, that's not a prestigious job. And then he leaves that job to go hang around the tombs and bother Trump. He's a Trump stalker. He is a Trump. And what is waiting for him at the end of all this nonsense is a federal judgeship. A federal judgeship, or I think that's what he wants, because he could have had a seven-figure job at a law firm a long time ago. Let me just, before we go, Fran, hello.
I'm Manny Gregg. What's up, baby? How you doing today?
Good.
Good. You made me sound a little unstable the last time, and that's the last thing I am. I'm as stable as can be.
Are you the guy who calls the radio stations and you were banned by WFAN?
No. I wasn't the guy that calls radio
stations. Are you the guy who was banned by WFAN?
We got in a little argument, and they just wouldn't answer the call.
You were the guy who got all upset, and you started talking about civil war and stuff like that.
I had mentioned it, but listen, we're never going to have a civil war because the Democrats they're in charge of everything. And I just want to say this, and I hate to see you fall into the trap, but you keep repeating everything that they're doing to Trump, which is right. I'm a Trump guy. I'm voting for Trump. I tell people to vote for Trump. I tell my family, we love Trump. We love you. But the bottom line is,
I know what you're talking about. Wait. Are you?
Yeah,
I know the Democrats. Look, you got to watch the videos I put out every day. All right. I'm just sitting here. I'm getting adjusted. Now, we hit Joe Biden hard. All right. There are all kinds of reasons to hate Joe Biden. All right. We know them. You know them. This is happening right now in our city. Right now in front of my face. Don't tell me I'm falling into any traps. All right, Fran. All right. I know what the hell I'm doing here. I know where all the traps are. All right. I know how to. Really. All right. I'm good. All right. Be right back.
Greg Kelly.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
Wow, I'm looking at an old video from high school in 1985. Not my whole high school, somebody's high school in 1985, and they got some Go-Go's music, and everybody looks, you know what they look like? They all look happy and healthy. They look happy and healthy, and I think the biggest reason is they're not glued to phones. They're looking at each other. They're making jokes. They're physical. They're present. It's kind of beautiful. Man, we're becoming little drones, little electronic little modules, like right out of the Matrix. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I hate this damn thing, to be honest. I hate the phone. I'm addicted to it, but I hate it. What the hell am I going to do? What are you going to do? Is the flip phone? Maybe I should get a flip phone. Or maybe a rotary dial phone. Remember that? Somebody made a grab. 911. All the way around the dial. All the way around the dial to call the cops.
You're listening to the Greg Kelly Show.
You know, this doesn't happen very often, but the window washers are right outside. They're right outside that big contraption. I heard the thumping, and here they come. What an interesting and intricate and I think could be dangerous job, right? Every so often, every 5 years or so, one of these things, here they come. Here they come. I'm so excited to see these guys. Look at that. It's like a tractor trailer. It's huge. And let's see. How you doing? Unfortunately, these windows. Hey, what's up? He's got his strap on and everything like that. Boy, they look like mountain climbers. And all right, they've got no interest in me, and they can't even hear me. I'm just, yeah, they're wearing big harnesses that connect them, so if anything happens, like that thing goes falling. I once heard that some buildings are so big that as soon as they, you know, wash all the windows, they got to start all over again. Kind of like the Verrazano Bridge. As soon as they're done painting it, pretty soon they got to start painting it all over again because it takes so long. I'm glad these guys are doing their thing. Thank you very much. That's a union job, right? That's you got to be very skilled to be on that thing right now. All right. Now, I want to, again, praise Sid. And I think Curtis has been doing some of this. The guys, we need boots on the ground supporting our Jewish brothers and sisters up there at Columbia University. Let's start with Michael Rappaport, the actor who used to be a Trump hater. And now he actually said voting for Trump is back on the table. Good for you, Michael. And he's been great on this issue. Cut 7.
I want to also make sure that as ridiculous as these people are across the street, as offensive as these people are across the street, agenda number 1 through 133 is to free our hostages.
That's right.
That's right. Bring them home. Bring them home. Bring them home. Bring them home. Bring them home.
You imagine if during the American hostage crisis with Iran, if nobody ever talked about the hostages. Remember that? It was like the biggest story in the country every day for 444 days. Days go by, weeks go by without a mention of the hostages. What is up with that? Keep going, Michael. What movies has this guy been in? I knew he was in an episode of Louis C.K. He was great in it. He played a cop who lost his gun. Cut 8.
I never, ever, ever thought that I would even think to need to be or have to be speaking about what's going on right over here in New York City. If this was a group of people screaming against tall people, short people, black people, Spanish people, Asian people, people with big noses, big feet, little noses, this would be stopped ASAP. This is not the New York way. This is an embarrassment to New York City.
That's right.
This is an embarrassment to the city of New York. This is a stain that historically, it will go down in history as an embarrassing time to New York.
It's true. But beyond New York, the whole damn nation is falling for this crap. Cut 9.
All I can say is, stay focused, stay proud. For all you Jewish younger people, especially the Jewish younger people, be prouder, be louder than you've ever been before about being Jewish. Do not be afraid of being Jewish, especially in New York City.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Nobody should be afraid of what they are, their race, their religion, their sexuality in this city. It's an embarrassment. And like I said, if these people were screaming at any other group of people, this would be taken care of. I'm wishing everybody a happy, happy, safe Passover. I'm wishing everybody to pray, to think, to meditate, to scream, yell, beg if you need be for the freedom of our hostages. I'm Israel High.
All right. Israel
High.
Israel High. I don't know what that means, but I kind of like it. I like it a lot. You never know. You never know where the heroes are going to emerge. He didn't have to go up there to Columbia. He didn't have to do any of that, but he feels compelled to, and I love it. And, of course, Sid was there, too. And let's hear it from him, and let's hear it for him. Cut 6.
My name is Sid Rosenberg. I am the morning show host, 77 WABC
Radio. Hey, hold on a second. Sid, you need no introduction. Come on. You don't need an introduction. We know who you are, but keep going.
Thank everybody for coming out here today. It's important for all the press that we see for these people across the street taking over our city. It's important that the pro-Israel, the pro-Jewish voices be heard as well, especially today, with tonight being the first night of Passover. That's why I thought today is the perfect time to come and hold this conference. We see what's happening right across the street. I see tents in there. I see camps in there. I can't believe in New York City, with such a large and proud Jewish population, that we've allowed this to happen. That people have taken over universities and are out in the streets promoting a group that murdered, tortured, and raped innocent Jewish people on a Saturday morning during Shabbat and a Jewish holiday. Unprovoked murder and rape. And yet we've got people all over this city, right there across the street, that are promoting this as if it's a good thing. So I've got a lot of friends in politics, and these are fine people. So I want to bring up each one by one so they can tell you how they feel today on this important Passover holiday.
All right, and he's talking about Anthony D'Esposito's there, Michael Lawler is there, and others, and that is terrific. It is amazing how few and far between people are making clear-cut, bold, taking clear-cut, bold stances on this stuff. Joe Biden will not do that. Joe Biden will not speak as clearly and unequivocally as Sid Rosenberg and Michael Rappaport. How about that? More leadership in those two guys than Joe Biden. All that crap on his resume, 50 years in the U.S. Senate. They're not one billionth the leaders of those guys. And of course, Trump. All right. Few and far between. But the people who are doing it are exceptional. Donald Trump, right on in his way to the courtroom today, had a few things to say about the situation at university campuses and beyond.
What's going on at the college level, at the colleges, Columbia, NYU, and others, is a disgrace. And it's really on Biden. He has the wrong signal. He's got the wrong tone. He's got the wrong words. He doesn't know who he's backing. And it's a mess. And if this were me, you'd be after me, you'd be after me so much, but they're trying to give him a pass. But what's going on is a disgrace to our country. And it's all Biden's fault, and everybody knows it. He's got no message. He's got no compassion. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't put two sentences together, frankly. He is the worst president in the history of our country. And again, what's going on is a disgrace. Now, it's interesting outside. For great Americans, people that want to come down and they want to protest at the court and they want to protest peacefully, we have more police presence here than anyone's ever seen. For blocks, you can't get near this courthouse. And yet you have nobody up at a college where you have very radical people wanting to rip the colleges down, the universities down. And that's a shame. But it all starts with Joe Biden. The signals he puts out are so bad. And I can tell you, he's no friend of Israel, that's for sure. And he's no friend of the Arab world either. You take a look at what he said. He's no friend of... He doesn't know what to do.
Stop. I know you hear the scratching that I hear as well. It's a pain in the neck. It's unfortunate. It's on all the feeds. And they're playing games with that because it sets me off. At the first thing I want to do, because it bothers you, doesn't it, right? This is a low-grade form of censorship. Messing with the sound quality, because every single microphone down there, something is up. But keep going. The message is important, and we can still make it out.
He doesn't know what to do. He wants to take like a middle ground, and oftentimes that doesn't work, but it's certainly not working here. But what he's done to Israel is abandon them, and he's trying to be as nice as he can to the other side. Call it the Arab world, but that's not working either, because they get him. And he's an incompetent man. A peace will never happen with a guy like this. Thank you very much.
Good for you. Good for him. It's just so clear cut and so spot on. And he knows it. You know it. Everybody knows it. He know it being Biden. They know it. They know it. They're vulnerable. They are running scared. But this is just like 2020, right? Remember all this weird stuff that was going on? COVID, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, so-called peaceful protests that were actually riots. That's where the doubles speak. Hey, the biggest story in the world, they play a catch and kill operation on. Yeah, the Hunter Biden laptop. What happened to that? Remember? They killed it. They killed it. Why isn't that the subject of a federal probe? I just went through it. You know, I wanted them to report it, but they didn't have to, and that they didn't wasn't a criminal matter. I mean, I suppose if you could find an unscrupulous prosecutor somewhere and an unscrupulous president, they could make a federal case out of it. But it's not a federal case. Prosecutors share emails, paperwork confirming $30,000 wire transfer from National Enquirer to parent company to buy story alleging Trump had an illegitimate child. Okay, but here's the thing. These guys were not checking in with Trump. They paid the $30,000, and you know what they found out afterwards? That the story was fake! That the story was fake. That it was somebody else. They actually found out who the kid was, and they found out who the father was. It was somebody who worked at the Trump organization. And how did they figure out that it wasn't Trump? Well, number one, the kid looked exactly like the father, okay? Who looked nothing like Trump. But David Pecker and Michael Cohen did not go running to Donald Trump every time something like this happened, especially David Pecker. Some of the, but Michael Cohen wanted to be a hero after the election. Look at what I did. Look at what I did. They still didn't trust the guy. They still didn't like the guy. They still didn't bring him to Washington, D.C. And that's what he desperately wanted. And then they raided his house, which is totally crazy, but they found out all this other crazy criminal stuff he was doing, buying and selling and the collateral against his own medallions. It was like a Ponzi scheme. And if you look at the indictment that he pled guilty to, 10 counts, I think, have nothing whatsoever. The first 10 counts, the first 10 pages have nothing to do with Trump, nothing to do with Trump. That's why he went to jail. They're pretending that this check stuff and billing a client for legal services or whatever he was doing. And you're allowed to do other things as a lawyer other than legal services. I told you yesterday, I had a lawyer. Remember when I went through that thing? Great lawyer. But guess what? It wasn't really a legal thing. It was just a hassle. And these guys, they help you. They help you navigate the hassle. And that's fine. And you pay him for that. What is he called again? What did he call himself? The fixer. Fixing things. This is still America, and I showed there's only a little spot. They actually say he did not fill out the check stub appropriately. The check stub? Why in the hell would you care about the check stub? Jeff, hello.
Greg, I just want to compliment you and thank you for being genuine and natural. You did a clip last week where you played that song, Whitey on the Moon, White Man on the Moon. I was listening. I was sitting with some co-workers, we caddy, so we're sitting in the caddy yard. A few of them happen to be Afro-American and in dental school, and we were hysterical. When you put the second lady on the phone, I couldn't get air. I was like, no. But the purpose of the call is the fact that you said you had to stop it because it was offensive. And we were all like, offensive to who?
Stop what? Like, offensive. I got to stop what? What did I stop was offensive?
The skit, you had to stop it a bit because, I don't know, maybe Catman was walking by and gave, I don't know. For some reason, you had to stop the bit. You said it was offensive.
I don't think I don't have found it offensive. And the Catman, he loves all this stuff. Talking about cats and Matidis? No. Let me hear it, I think. Wait, let's press that. Where's that Whitey on the Moon? Here we go.
A rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the Moon. Her face and arms began to swell and Whitey's on the Moon. I can't pay no doctor bills.
Whitey on the moon. That's your fault, Buzz Aldrin.
Yes.
Oh, man. If only there were no space program, I would have no problem. All right, stop. That's where I get in trouble, all right? That's where I get in trouble. You can't. I mean, remember, it's okay for black people to imitate a white voice, but you can't be a white person and imitate a black voice because that's, for whatever reason, that's one of the crazy, silly rules that we have. Although when it comes to Eric Adams, yo, I kicked those crackers' ass. That's fine. Anybody can do that. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Hey, why did I play that anyway? Oh, I know, because, hey, forget everything. Jeff, you're a caddy?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do.
How does that work? Because I tried to break into the caddy business when I was a kid. I found it very cliquish. You had to stand around for a long time, and I never really broke in. What's that like?
They call it sitting. Yeah, I grew up in a business which was not good because I hated golf, all right? So I had to, though. And we weren't allowed to go into the business either. My dad was like, none of you are going into the business, so fine. Hey,
you guys
else.
Called yeah. caddying the business?
Yeah, well, no, he was in a different type of the business, but we weren't allowed to do what he did. So we had to just, like, find something else, like a shovel or be a lawyer or go into real estate or something. So
So, but you know what I mean. You got to sit around a long time, and sometimes you're not even picked, right?
Yeah, they call it sitting, but sometimes it's not bad because you get a request. So, like, say I got you, Catman, Sid, and, you know, the judge, right? So I'd be like, yeah. But he's like, all right, they're coming in at 1 o'clock. So I won't go out. I'll wait. I'll sit because I know I got you. Other times, that's just the name of the game. You're new. You got to sit. That's just how it goes.
I could never figure it out. I was too young. I was 11 years old. I'm like, I've been here for 3 hours. What's going on? Some guys are getting picked who just got here. I don't understand it. I know how to carry a bag. And I just went home in discouragement. I just didn't. But anyway, you cracked the code. I appreciate that. And keep it up. I know you guys are like advice for the golfers and all that stuff. Last question. Did you ever see Caddyshack?
Yeah, loved it. Keep your head down, swing through. I met Bill Murray, too. I was cutting fairways, and I met him on an afternoon, and he actually did the skit, and I couldn't break character. And you know when you meet somebody, and then afterwards you're like, I should have said this, I should have said that? That was me. I can't brag about it. I just froze. Yeah.
Well, a great movie that is not talked about enough. And another great movie that he was in, Meatballs, about summer camp. And a lot of good, interesting lessons about friendship. All right, Jeff, thank you. Thanks for everything. We'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. Listening to the Greg Kelly Show.
You know what it looks like? Occupy Wall Street times 100. Occupy Wall Street, when was that? 2011, 2012, something like that. And they took over Zuccotti Park, that little spot in Lower Manhattan, and they were all upset that they couldn't make money by doing nothing. Although there are plenty of ways to make money in America doing nothing these days. And money is kind of less valuable than it used to be. That's what it looks like right now. Tent City up there and Washington Square Park down there and up there at Columbia University and a bunch of crazy terrorist supporting fools singing and banging drums and yelling to Allah. Some of these people do not look like they're native Muslim, so they're just kind of going along for the fun and profit of it all. Rioting and protesting, hey, it beats working, right? It's more fun. You're outside, you're getting exercise, you're socializing all at the same time. You're getting street cred, you're posting on Instagram. Your school bills are being paid by Joe Biden. No more school for the rest of the year. Hey, what a great deal. Other than you are preaching hatred and death. And if you keep this up, you will one day, I don't know how, I don't know when, but you will be rewarded somehow. And by rewarded, I mean punished for your dark and evil ways. Still hope. Still hope for everybody. Absolutely. I just have to do this real quick. Papua New Guinea is a great place. And Joe Biden unfairly called them all cannibals. Remember that? Last week he said, His uncle, who he never met, was shot down in Papua New Guinea and was eaten by the cannibals there. Now, it was one of the most ignorant, stupid, and flat-out false things ever uttered by an American president. Ever. His uncle crashed in the water, okay? Was not eaten by cannibals, and he knows nothing about Papua New Guinea. And I talked to this guy from Papua New Guinea. He was the nicest guy. Mr. Kabuni was his name. And he's a political scientist in Papua New Guinea. And listen to this guy. He tells me how people there reacted. Go ahead.
That shocked me, what he said. Totally shocked me, Joe Biden. And I've never been to Papua New Guinea. I don't know that much about it. How did it go down in Papua New Guinea?
I think it shocked us more. You know, these kind of things, we often, and it's usually kids in kindergarten or drunk men in pubs, right? We didn't expect this to come from one of the most powerful men in the world. So this took us by surprise.
And he wants an apology. He was great, by the way. Did you hear what he said? Yeah, we expect this from children or drunk men in bars, but not from the President of the United States. I am so sorry, Papua New Guinea.